Another thing I needed a quick check on. Are Babs and Buster sisters or just bunnies? That's brother and sister. They're the same height.
They're twins.
Are they twins?
We've got twins in this show. This happened with Rise of the Ronin, and now we've got it here with Tiny Toon. Why are there always twins the moment I got twins?
But maybe the world's always been twins, and you only just noticed it now. Everyone's a twin.
It's twins?
Always has been. Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
Yes, I'm not only well, feeling adventurous.
Adventurous? How so?
Is that the right word? I think so, adventurous.
Adventurous. You want to go on an adventure. You feel like you need to take that first step to Mordor or whatever, right?
Ooh. We did, though. This past weekend was the first time in 6 months I was able to play Dungeons & Dragons with some of my friends.
Oh, wow. Damn. Just because
I know.
That's a long time, Shane.
It's six. Was it good, that's the longest hiatus we've taken from our game.
Mm-mm.
6 months.
They've been playing
months.
For years, ladies and gentlemen.
We have been playing for years. We've been playing since 2018, the same game of D&D.
Well, sounds fun, I suppose. If you
get it, is this. It's a lot of fun. We're playing the Curse of Strahd campaign, where we go up against basically Dracula in Dracula's castle.
Fair
but
enough.
The entire country is just gothic horrified.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Anyway,
everyone
should play Dungeons and Dragons.
Just everyone. Just all of you,
yes,
out there.
Yes! Everyone!
Some mega adventure where everyone plays at the same time.
Oh,
and
can you imagine?
That idea does actually sound kind of cool. Like a Netflix program, right? Where everybody plays.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. What class are you going with, Dave?
I've never played, and I'm thinking, well, there's only four in my mind. Warrior, mage, bard, and, I don't know, thief. I'd be a thief. I'd be an
really?
Thief. Yeah,
whoa.
I just like the idea of stealing things. I know
so
it's
in
weird.
In D&D, that's a rogue.
Okay, rogue, of course. Yes.
Yes, and they can do a stealth attack, right?
Of course.
And a lot of people are saying that's the strongest attack in the entire
game. There you go. That sounds
just
like
a rogue good. Pinching someone with his dagger from the shadows.
Yeah, just like a boop, and then just running away. Yeah, that sounds like me to a T.
I'd go with a bard.
You've said this before.
Yes.
Like, I know. Yes. I know you play instruments, so but a bard is, isn't it weak? Isn't the guy who stands at the back going, attack them now and with
he's
your
not
might, you
weak,
know.
He's yeah. a support character.
Okay, yeah.
Right? But he can attack. I can have my accordion on my back, and then
nice.
A rapier that I can just attack with when I'm not accordioning.
Of course, yeah.
Or I can have an invisible floating phantom organ that I summon with a ring.
Well, that does sound handy as a bard.
Right?
Fantastic, yeah, no.
There's I can sing, right? I can sing, and because I'm friends with Asmodeus of the Nine Hells, I can harmonize with my own voice.
Sorry, I've just been, this like three-man trio of just harmonizing like that. And then you sing during whilst
okay.
your warrior's losing his arm and whilst your mage is trying to conjure like a firewall or something, you're
yes.
just going, a wimbo, a wimbo,
a wimbo,
a wimbo. Yeah, okay.
I know.
You obviously like the bard. So,
yes,
yeah.
I do. I'm getting. Anyway, it's got nothing to do. With today's
no,
episode.
It really isn't.
I just am so stoked to be able to play D&D, and we need to play more.
Yeah. There you go, ladies.
Everyone needs to play more.
Yeah, we should contact Netflix for that TV idea.
Yes.
I think it's
speaking
a multi-million.
Of playing games that you haven't played in a very long time, Dave, what's this week's episode?
Well, a very long time being the key part of that sentence. This was the 1991 Tiny Toon Adventures for the NES or the NES or whatever you want to call it.
That's 33 years ago.
Yeah, you weren't even born yet, right?
No, I wasn't even born yet.
Jeez.
Not even close.
This was a strange one because you told me you've actually got a history with this game, which I thought to myself, is it this game? The 1991 version of Tiny Toon Adventures?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, this one. Yes, this one I played. I've played this a ton when I was younger.
Because I know Tiny Toon Adventures also released a game on the Mega Drive or the SNES, I can't remember, which was kind of really good. This is the precursor to that one. This one is... this is basic. I'm not going to lie. This game was pretty basic.
I'm not
going to
argue. It is.
The developer was Konami, which I'm sure everybody's heard of. Metal Gear Solid, Silent Hill, Castlevania, Contra, Yu-Gi-Oh! You know, Konami in its beginning days when it was making games.
Yeah.
I tried to do some more history in the back of the show, and there wasn't much because it was just a Tiny Toon Adventures game. One thing I did find, which was kind of cool, I'm sure yourself and maybe lots of others listening used to watch the Tiny Toon Adventures cartoon program.
Of course.
Right? Do you know that the executive producer to that show at that time was Steven Spielberg?
Really?
Right?
I'm not surprised. He made Animaniacs.
Did he make Animaniacs?
Do you not know that? Yes, Steven Spielberg created the Animaniacs.
That does make a lot of sense, because I always feel like Animaniacs and the Tiny Toons had kind of something in common, right? They always felt like they're watching the same kind of humor, same type of program in it.
Okay, and the Animaniacs, they're very meta. I mean, they live in the Warner Brothers...
Tower, right?
Tower, yeah, that's right. And they reference movies. They walk around the studios.
That's right.
It's very meta. That does seem like something Steven Spielberg would make.
Oh, no.
But
no,
this? I had no idea.
Yeah, sadly, there aren't much... can you remember the show that much? I cannot. I know I watched it. I know there's Buster and Babs.
That's right.
Elmira. And that's some Maximilian or some rich little ass.
You're right, Montana Max.
There you go.
That's all I remember as well. So I went on YouTube to watch some of the old episodes.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course, of course.
Did you do that?
No, I did not.
Oh, I watched some of the old stuff. It's still good. It still holds up.
Are they... Okay, this is going to sound kind of dumb. Are they famous Warner Brothers kids? Are they actually the children of famous Warner Brothers characters, like Bugs?
What?
And...
Why would... No, I don't think so.
I was just thinking... like, because you've got a baby Taz, don't you? Or is that Taz?
Yes. Yes. That is, that the Tasmanian devil.
Is that Taz's son?
I don't think so.
And like Bugs Bunny's son. And
I don't think so. I don't know if you know about this, but last year, that's right, I was stunned when I heard this. They rebooted Tiny Toon Adventures.
I think I read that somewhere, yeah. I didn't,
oh,
of
did
course,
you?
Follow it or something like that. They rebooted and it was successful.
Yes, that's right. The second season went live a month ago.
Oh, whoa, really?
Last month, May, the second season of Tiny Toons, it's called Looniversity.
Nice, classic. I can see where they're going there.
Went live. And I watched some clips of it. It seems good. I laughed. Yeah. It seems funny.
It's because old cartoons are the best.
They really are.
That's it. Fight me on it or whatever you want. Like other people. Old cartoons are the best. It doesn't matter. And, sorry, a bit of a tangent. Cartoons today don't have anything in it for adults much. I'll give you SpongeBob. SpongeBob is great.
Yeah, SpongeBob.
But you watch Dexter's Lab, Johnny Bravo, Cow and Chicken, be it Looney Tunes and stuff. There are grown-up references in them that only adults would know. And you can enjoy watching the show with your kids too. That's what's
very true
of cartoons now.
I'd say the majority of kids' shows don't have that, but there are some. Have you seen the regular show?
No. I don't even know what that is. What's the regular show?
Yes, that's... I think that might be a decade old at this point, so that's not considered new. But regular show is one of Cartoon Network's biggest shows a couple of years ago. That is definitely for adults as well. You must know Adventure Time.
I know Adventure Time, yes. I was shocked how aimed at adults that also is. Sorry,
right?
How adult that is. Yeah, I only watched one episode, and I thought, damn, this is actually kind of like a kiddies Rick and Morty without the swearing.
That's right.
It's some bizarre things going on in the show.
There are some shows like that. I wouldn't say Tiny Toons Looniversity, this new one, is aimed at, not aimed at adults, but has segments aimed at adults. Some of it is, I wouldn't say mature, but a bit better than others. I think the new Looney Tunes show is aimed at adults. Have you seen the new Looney Tunes show?
No, I can't say. So I guess it's one universe you're in and I'm not really. I can't say I've watched cartoons in a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got the kids, so I guess you watch a lot of cartoons, quite a lot. Is there, to tell me that Looniversity, the kid, the Babs and Buster have grown up. Are they teenagers now?
They're teenagers. Okay. Late teenagers.
Oh, wow. So they're like adults, like adolescents.
Well, if 16, 17-ish, right?
Yeah.
The smaller version of Tweety Bird.
Yeah.
Right? She's this punk rock chick.
Okay, makes sense, I suppose. Yeah, I got you.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's say the younger version of Daffy Duck. I don't know what their names are, but he's green now. He's a drama nerd.
Okay, fair enough. I can see that too. So, I don't mind where that's going. Yeah.
Right. So there's these stereotypes from university or high school, and they inject it with Tiny Toons, and they put it in a setting that most teens or tweens are familiar with: high school and university.
Yes, of course.
I think
it's
quite smart.
Mm. The other question, like I said, this is the weird question, only because of my younger self. I used to fancy Lola Bunny. Because
Who doesn't?
Right?
Who didn't fancy Lola Bunny?
So is Babs the new Lola?
I don't think so, because Lola Bunny is in the new Tiny Toon
Adventures. No way!
Yes! And she's not sexualized at all.
Ah, yeah, they used to move the hips and stuff like that in Space Jam.
Which
and stuff,
I didn't have a problem with. No, I'm sure you didn't either.
No, she was hot.
But even this new version of Lola Bunny, she's just made out to be the cool chick, right? Who can do everything. She surfs, she skates.
Oh, okay.
She's the cafeteria lady, and somehow she makes the absolute best food, Michelin 5-star level meals out of dough. She's just cool, and I really don't have a problem with the direction they took Lola Bunny in.
No, got you.
The Tiny Toons reboot.
Okay, we're going a bit of a tangent now, but it's good to know that Tiny Toons is still going.
Yes, I'm happy.
But So I was looking at this game, 1991. I played this game for a little while, and I was thinking, okay, I was playing this game. What else came? I needed to know what the battlefield was like.
We need 1991 context.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because you can't just say this is bad when, you know, or this is good when everything else around it was bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
So in 1991, games from NES was also Battletoads came out, Mega Man 4, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Which I actually remember playing. That game was great.
Really? Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Tomatoes.
That's a good game.
It's a movie. It was a movie game. Have you not watched? I'm sure you haven't watched. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I've not watched it. I've seen clips of it. Isn't it like from the 60s?
Yeah, it's like 60s, 70s, something like that. Oh, it's a spoof. It's an insanely dumb, stupid, amazing horror movie.
But sometimes those are the ones that get a cult following.
But I'll go. So there was 1991, there was a plethora of really decent NES games coming out. This wasn't like NES in its infancy. So this game... Okay, anyway, let's jump into narrative. Sorry.
Let's go with the narrative,
My narrative notes is one line. Right?
Yes!
Maybe I missed something.
What is it?
It's basically the premise of Mario. Babs Bunny has been stolen by Montana Max, and Buster and friends have to go find her. Right? That's it. Did I miss something?
Nope. There's visuals. There's
nothing, right? There's no backstory. There's no reason. Why did Max grab... Does Max, like, in the canon, does he fancy Babs?
I think he's just jealous of them because they're happy and he's rich.
Well, yeah, okay, I guess that I can see that. That's a deep context to the storyline, but right, yeah, okay. He's just rich and lonely.
Oh, I've got some deep cuts here, especially in audio. We'll get to that.
Okay, and another thing I needed a quick check on. Are Babs and Buster sisters or just bunnies? Not brother and sister. They're the
don't
same
you know?
Height.
They're twins.
Are they twins?
Once again, we've got twins in this show. This happened with Rise of the Ronin, and now we've got it here with Tiny Toon. Why are there always twins the moment I got twins?
But maybe the world's always been twins, and you only just noticed it now. Everyone's a twin.
It's twins? Always has been.
Okay, contextually, that confuses me to the last picture. So they're twins.
They're twins, that's right, yes. Buster and Babs are twins. They're brother and sister.
That makes sense then. Okay. So he's gone to go save his sister from Monty or Montana Max.
Montana Max.
Which is just like Richie Rich, right? He's just a millionaire kid.
Yes,
for some reason.
And he sucks.
Yes, of course. You've got to have a bad guy. And yeah, he's got a side. That's the narrative. That's it. And there's,
that is it. You're right.
And you collect carrots is the other part of the narrative. Why? Because you're a bunny. So there you go. And you can
always.
That's
but
true.
Anyway, I really enjoyed the way they tried to incorporate all the major characters from the show in this game. You only play as four of them, but somehow all of them are here. Hampton. Hampton's here. He gives you.
He's the pig,
lives.
Right?
He's the pig, Hampton the pig, that's right.
And that's not Porky Pig's son.
No.
So that's what confuses me. It looks just like... Okay, anyway, Hampton gives you... Yeah, true, he runs his little shop, right?
That's right. Hampton, he's got a shop, and you need to give him 30 carrots for another Buster.
Yes, that's right.
I like that the characters are here, even... I don't know their names.
Plucky Duck, Dizzy
Plucky
Devil,
Duck.
Furball, and of course Buster and Babs.
Buster and Babs, Montana Max Hampton. Do you know who's the dodo bird at the end of each level?
No, I don't. I remembered him, and I remember. I think he's shy or something, or he's very brainy, or he's a nerd. I can't remember, but I have got a note about him later in it because I can't remember his name. I very slightly remember the Tiny Toon Adventures cartoon, but I do remember him being in it.
Same. It is one of those older cartoons that you only have the memory of watching, but you remember absolutely zero.
Yeah, you've got that fond memory. You look back and say, yes. Tiny Toon Adventures was great. And then somebody asks you
I used to watch it, drink a Capri Sun, all those types of stuff. Listen, there is no story here. There's no story. You've got characters, kind of, not really, but they look like characters. All you're doing is just traversing some major locations from the show until you beat the final boss, Montana Max. So if you like the show and you get a kick out of seeing them and then walking around the Luniversity, the Wacky Land, all of these, Montana Max's mansion. If you get a kick of just being in these places, I mean, this game's... It's fine.
Yeah, that's exactly what this was. It was a tie-in for a popular cartoon program at the time. So they made a game. Yeah.
And at the time, people didn't really think twice about times. They just saw cool game.
Yes, exactly.
And played it.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was a simpler time.
It really was. It's weird to look back at it and you think, whoa. And I mean simpler in like inverted commas here. Like, simpler times. Like, damn. We're so spoiled now, ladies and gents. I tell you, we are so spoiled now. This game is quite simple in its own respect. Anything else narratively?
No, there really isn't.
Exactly.
There really isn't anything else.
Okay, let's go to the visuals. Visuals of a 1991 NES game.
It's tough. It's tough. This was the 8-bit generation.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
The visuals are exactly what we remember. It's exactly what you think it is, just a NES game.
It is. It's, again, my notes for visuals. Not the easiest thing to do, because, like I said, the palettes and the color and the systems you can actually get out of a NES game is relatively limited.
Yeah.
My greatest note I put out here is that they can lean against the walls. I thought...
I got that in gameplay as well.
Right? That was cool. I know it's a weird thing, ladies and gents, to be like, oh, they can lean against walls and everybody's like, now we can jump and fly and jetpack and teleport and stuff like that. But it was, again, in these games, when you could go against the wall. And it's not just a normal lean. It's one of those stylized, like, hey, how are you doing type leans, right? It's
just like leaning. Not just that, but, I mean, this was the same time. I don't think it was the same year. But when Sonic released and he had idle animations.
He did, yes. No, great.
It's the same animation. It's the same feeling.
No, I do. I agree. Like I said, we're trying. The palette was kind of the best it could do. The first level immediately just screamed a Mario knockoff to me. Like, it was almost the exact same first level to Mario. You just jump on the bad guys, you pick up carrots, you make it to a fairly generic door at the end of the, you know, nothing special, just a white door that you just to fall on. There really isn't.
How about this? I like all the sprites. And yes, from the era, sprites usually only consisted of a load of pixels. That is it.
Yes, yeah, very true.
So I like the way that they managed to make their sprites with only a couple of pixels. Granted, this isn't just this game, but all the games from this time. My favorite being Final Fantasy VI.
They go hard.
It is so impressive that they're able to do this, that it spawned almost an entire genre that people are still hammering on.
Oh, no,
If you look at Octopath Traveler.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started. I love this tangent. Yeah, I love Octopath Traveler.
Because pixel art is so endearing, it's still being used today, even though the technology has far outpaced it.
No, like I said, it's that warm feeling when you see it.
Yes, because of a lot of exactly.
us who got raised by those games. Yeah,
and this game does that. The moment I saw... What's his name? Fluffball?
Furball. The little cat.
Furball.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of this game, but I remember Furball. I remember Furball because he could climb on the walls.
Yes.
And the way he looked when he climbed on the walls, that is something I didn't ever forget.
The little crouch type crawling
aspect
to his climbing.
Yes,
yes,
yes. And he just looks like such a cozy, comfy little furball. And I thought, really just want to pick him up and hug him.
What was his character in the cartoon? Was he scared?
No.
Was he a scaredy cat? He wasn't.
No, I think he was just timid. He's supposed to be Sylvester.
Not different versions of
Sylvester
the universe.
I don't know. A tiny Sylvester, I guess.
Okay, got you. Okay, can you help me out? Sorry, go on.
Endearing. That's the word I'm trying to get at.
Okay, I haven't watched this in a long time. Now, can you help me with maybe the boss fights? Because I couldn't... Okay, I'll give you Almira. You know, she was just the crying little annoying, like, first child of someone, right? And
that's
she
right.
fancied Buster or something?
Everyone, all the Tiny Toons, I think.
She fancied all of them. Wow, she's got a great future.
I don't know.
And then later on, okay, it makes sense as a bad guy. And then the second level, the bad guy is what looks like a scientist on a skateboard.
That's right.
Is that canon?
No.
Okay, and the next one was a pirate.
Yes.
Were these just add generic bad guy here?
Or yes, were they... I think so. I think it really was.
I think...
They started with general concepts of places where they've been in the cartoon.
Yeah.
And then ended up, okay, but what would a final boss look like for a place
like
this?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I agree.
A pirate.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think they're in the cartoon.
Yeah, I was trying hard to think, why would all the bad guys and the people be animals and then there be a pirate? And I was thinking, was there a pirate? Was it like a weird Peter Pan tie-in that I couldn't remember?
I'd be very impressed if all of these bosses were in Tiny
Toons. Yeah, right. It really would be weird if you watched
it. I'd be impressed, but I really don't think so.
And I was slightly shocked in the ghost forest, the weird with the trees that came alive and stuff like that. There was literally like little Shadow the Hedgehog type sprites. I'm sure they were before their time. But did you see
really?
The little? Yeah, there were. It was literally. If you could take an 8-bit shadow and make him small and stout and run across the screen, that's what you killed in Tiny Toon Adventures. Which, you know, that if I was Sega, I'd look into, because they kind of stole one of your IPs, potentially.
They own Sonic.
Sega, yeah, of course they do, right?
Yes. Okay, no, I'm confused.
Sorry. Anything else? Okay, go on. What else visually?
Visuals. I thought... Did you get through all the levels?
Yes.
Same. I thought Wacky Land was an interesting concept.
Wacky
For
Land
a game
was
that
the
came out in 1991
yes.
that really a medium that hasn't delved into the abstract.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm with you.
The only games that you've had at that point was the early Final Fantasies, the early Dragon Quests, Mega Man, and Mario.
Yeah, I guess they would be your big ones, yeah.
Right, so something as abstract as Wacky Land was a bit new, I think, in 1991 for video games.
Well, you could see Wacky Land and Monty's Mansion and whatever, they're the levels they actually tried hard at compared to the other ones, right? The other ones were just generic water level, generic sand level, generic...
It did seem like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good idea. Like I said, it was interesting looking back at it, and we can't really understand the limitations that our 8-bit thing was, because you need sound.
No.
You need sound and visuals, and of course, a little bit of jump, crawl, animation aspects into your code.
That's right.
So it must, we'd laugh here. I bet you it's actually super hard. Like, you want to give it all the visuals you can, but you're just stuck with, like, 8 colors you
That's
can
right.
use or something like that. Right?
There were such limitations.
Yes, it really, really, really were.
I watched a video last night from one of my favorite YouTubers, Super Eyepatch Wolf. I'd recommend anyone to watch this. It's called Video Games That Don't Exist.
Okay.
And he's in this video, he talks about how people are creating concepts for video games that don't exist.
Okay.
It's an odd thought, but if you think about it, we've seen tons of concept art from fans.
Yes, of course. There is
right.
Yeah,
let's
of
say
yep.
Ash with a Pikachu up against a full scale Rayquaza.
Yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
And it looks just like somebody made this cool picture, but in the corner of this picture, you'd see the classic prompt box, fight item, Pokemon box, run.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, this looks like a screenshot of a game.
Yes, okay, yes, I'm with you. Yeah.
A lot. In his research, he found a very surprising stat that most of these things that he found, most of the screenshots or videos of games that don't exist, incorporated these limitations.
Yes, okay, yes, yeah, of course.
Right, so if we were to make a game look like a Game Boy Color game, they would, or a Game Boy game, original Game Boy.
Yeah.
Everything would be either black or green.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you'd have an 8-bit soundtrack.
Yes, yeah.
Why would you do that when you can make this entire fake game to look normal?
So that you're saying they people made this artwork within the requirements and compounds of the system itself.
Yes.
So they were proving you could have made something better using that equipment.
I guess so, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that these limitations at the time were frustrating, but over time have grown to be the most endearing parts of these older consoles.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. I'm with you. Yes, yes.
Let's take a look at Sea of Stars. It's on the PlayStation 5 PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
But it looks like an SNES game.
Yes, exactly. Its charm is that. But yes, I get what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yes,
no, it's so weird, this phenomenon where the limitations over time has turned into the charm of a console.
Yes, yes,
isn't
true.
That
that's
interesting?
Very true. No, that's fair. Like I said, I look forward to the future where your kids are all grown up, they're in their 30s, and they dust off dad's PlayStation 5 and go, is this what games look like then? Like, you know, to them, they'll have that same feeling from a fully modelled Lara Croft or a fully modelled, and they'll go, whoa, yeah, I remember this. It's weird how just through history, those things are going to change. And and you're right. Sea of Stars has that same cozy feeling of anybody who played a SNES game back in the day. Yeah, no.
But the limitations are going to be looked back on fondly.
Yes,
I agree. Am convinced that in 10 or 20 years, when people look back on Skyrim and Fallout 4, and they realize they were getting world building, they were getting lore, they were getting so much info on the game through loading screens.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
gonna they're going to look past. Back on that fondly.
I agree. It's like I said, it's always fun to see where gaming and stuff is going. And like I said, looking back in the past at these old games, like this game was super nostalgic for you because you played it a lot as a kid, right?
So yes, you've got, yes. I had these
your nostalgia goggles are on high on this.
I had friends in our street. They owned an NES and they owned a PlayStation 2, of which I had neither. Nice, so I would spend as much time over there as possible. Sometimes even sleep over. And then we would play the Lion King game. We would play Aladdin. We would play classics. Tiny Toon Adventures.
Mm.
Yeah, all of these games.
And everybody out there who's old as I am and slightly as old as you have these same memories as well to some degree, right? They have the...
That's right.
The big lands of the boys. Yes. And
so, objectively reviewing a game like this is almost impossible.
Yes, that's very true. Anything else visualize you want to us with?
No, that's it for visuals.
It's hard, right?
It is.
NES games are so hard to do.
Ladies and gents, if you think you can do this, be our guest.
Okay, audio. Mr. Audio Man.
Yes. So, I've got a couple of notes here.
Yeah, go on.
We were just talking about how these games are being fondly remembered. Audio, it could be the biggest part of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is one big part of why these games are so fondly remembered. Again, because of the limitations, this is just an 8-bit track.
Yeah.
The soundtrack, it's pure 8-bit ecstasy.
Oh, this is where you and I kind of differ. We diverge from
and that's fine. That's fine. It's we spoke about this a couple of months ago, or maybe even a year ago in an earlier episode. Chiptune.
Yeah, yeah.
Evolved from the soundtracks of these classic NES games. Definitely, because definitely, the limitations are so looked back on fondly, they've somehow managed to enter the modern age through pixel art and chiptune.
Yes, agreed.
It's not supposed to happen. How?
I know. It's because as humans, we grab onto nostalgia and old things. You know, we always have done to some degree. Look at museums, in theory, are fundamentally for that same reason and history. Okay, but I must tell you that I know what you're talking about, and I know you're talking about the Looney Tunes Adventures song, right?
Yes.
No, that's granted. That was the one.
That's Looney Tunes.
That song.
Is everyone enjoying our buzz?
But I liked that song, and it's nostalgic for the first level.
Yeah,
and then they use that song on the first level of every corresponding world, and it slightly starts, you know, it's an earworm in general. And then I just kept hearing it and I was starting to lose my mind.
Really?
And if I died and it started over again, it's one of those, you know, they should be using that in Gintama.
No,
I couldn't. It was all the time, just continuously
I had none of that. I had no problem just turning up the volume each and every time.
It's because they switch, like a switch is a switch on in my brain. I hear that and then I start hearing Animaniacs. All the songs just come flooding in my head.
Yes.
The nostalgia hit me originally, but when playing this game, and it took me a while to complete it, I might add, because this game is hard.
It really is.
That song was doing my head in, and they used it on every section of this game. I give you its limitations again. They can't make brand new songs for every single level, or maybe there's limitations.
Well, I guess we're on opposite ends of it being a good or bad thing.
Yes, exactly right, exactly. So I'm guessing this was ambrosia for you. This was just like, give me more Looney Tunes soundtrack
per level. I listened to the soundtrack on YouTube afterwards.
Really?
Yes, okay. Please, sir. May I have some more Tiny Toon Adventures music?
No, you can't do that. That's insane.
I know I'm in the vast minority when it comes to that, but I could listen to chiptune music or original 8-bit soundtracks like it's nothing.
Well, again, there are some good 8-bit songs out there. Like you said, Final Fantasy's got some great ones. Gradius has some good ones, an old NES game. Chip and Dale was a NES game I had with a great soundtrack to it.
There are lots. There are lots. I think in this game specifically, though, that the tracks follow the design of the theme.
Yes, they do.
As well as the atmosphere.
Yes, they did have them. Agreed. When they weren't playing the Looney Tunes Adventures song.
Right. It's pretty basic now, but even then, I wouldn't say it's something that you could just account for in each game.
Yeah, that's true. You're probably
Some games do it well, but other games are good games, but I don't know if the music always accompanies the level that well. In this case, though, the water level is floaty. And it's got rising and falling scales, almost reminiscent of waves.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right? So they're using a musical device, scales, to kind of get the point across that this is the water level.
No, I got you. As in the swell of the water, tide going
exactly,
in and out.
Exactly,
so that type of aspect to it, yeah.
They did the same in the haunted level. After you're in the haunted forest, you go into the haunted mansion.
Yes, right, I remember. Yeah.
Right, and in this level, they've got some high trill notes that almost sound like screams.
Yeah, like to add the
right, someone shouting
right?
out of terror. And the other one I noticed in the same level, there's a double percussion. Doof, 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 which is true, but subconsciously, what does that make you think about?
It's a heartbeat.
Of course, it's a heartbeat. Isn't that just incredible?
We talked about that in Amnesia, didn't we? Which is funny because think of the age gap between those two games.
Yes.
You know, it's still being used as a sound engineering
device. It still is.
Device, right?
I don't know if I'm interpreting things that the composer did not intend, but I enjoy dissecting the audio of games so much.
Yeah, I agree. No, you're right. There were some nuances which I'm pretty sure I probably missed because I was just going in my head, slowly like writing all songs and all played makes David go mental. But Almira had her own song. I didn't know if did she have her own song in the TV series?
Oh, I don't know. I probably not. I'm guessing 90% of those shows were just Foley.
Yes, yeah, of course. No, I can't imagine. And again, this is the weird thing, and you mentioned this earlier. The only character in this entire show that actually had an audio cue or a dub, I don't know what you want to call it, was the dodo. The dodo was the dodo between loading screens used to go murp murp or what the hell noise dodo is made.
Dope.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, you're right. He is the
only character that has got a noise for some reason.
That's true. The rest just have music.
Yeah, so I give you, it's like a little loading screen, so it's not a bad little idea, but he's the only character that has a voice, which...
Wow. Let me ask you, is that supposed to be a bad thing?
No, I just don't know why they didn't do it. Granted, I can't remember what the others made or something like that, but they could have done a cat noise for Furball and...
I guess so.
Dizzy Devil could have gone or whatever, you know.
Or
I love
who's
Chaz.
The duck girl? I don't know her name.
Daisy Duck?
No, Daisy Duck's tiny counterpart.
Oh, she kept calling herself a loony. The woman who gave you the level
design. She's a fortune teller.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember her with the long hair, which is a weird thing. A weird tangent. Did you ever watch the TV program about Taz and his family?
What? No.
Oh, it was freaking great. Yeah, Taz living with his sister and his mum and dad.
There's a show about the Tasmanian devil and his family.
Oh, hell yeah. It was brilliant.
Are they actually in Tasmania?
Oh, I don't know that location. But Taz doesn't speak, but his dad does. And so does his mum and his sister. But they speak words. You should watch it. It's brilliant.
So throughout the entire show, they're talking... Ah, hello, Taz, my son. Would you mind passing the ketchup? And he just goes...
that is pretty much it, yes. But the thing is, the dad speaks really, like, pronounces really well. And they do this
is
bit.
Is he posh? Is he posh?
He's not super posh, but he's educated. He's definitely educated.
Oh, Oh, this is funny. How much of a disappointment must Taz be?
Oh, come on. Taz is great. Taz is a good guy.
I love Taz. I don't think his dad does.
No, but his dad used to do that thing. It was a great bit. I don't know. This is a weird tangent where he'd tell a story and he'd go, and when I was your age, yakety smackety, I would be the... He'd always do yakety smackety or supity loopity in his words as he told a story. And for some reason, that is stuck in my brain forever.
That is hilarious.
Watch it. I don't know what it was called, but Taz's family was great.
I'll go check it out.
Anything else, audio-wise?
There's one other, but we're coming up on 40 minutes.
Okay. Do you want to skip straight into gameplay then?
Let's go to gameplay. This is just a pure platformer. There's no other way to describe it.
That's true.
This is the purest of platformers.
Agreed. This is pretty much all you could call it. A platform game. Right.
Yes, and a hard one at that.
Yes, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the old school nature of games. It was because they weren't... If you played this game through, it's about an hour. If you didn't die and then, you know, you just pure...
There you go. If you don't die.
Yeah, but if you die, this takes... And you die easily. You can find one heart on the stage somewhere, but if you get hit by anything, you're dead. It's kind of like Contra or full...
Yes.
But this game's hard. It is super hard. So you've got to memorize each level, fundamentally, was kind of like the whole point. But that was the
point.
It's
insane. And each level has three stages with two boss battles.
Yes, yes.
If you know them, you can traverse them quite quickly.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them easy.
I wrote down here, the boss battles sucked. I could not have been more disappointed with... You finish stage one, you go into a room, and there's Elmira with her little hearts floating above her head, and of course she wants to catch you or keep you or something, I don't know. And so I was like, okay, so this is... First of all, I'm thinking, oh, this is a classic, I have to jump on her head. No, of course not, nope. You jumped on everybody else's head.
What were you thinking?
Elmira, no, of course not. So then I died and restart the level. And then I'm playing this level thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do? So I just keep jumping over her.
Yes, because the door's not there yet.
Yeah, and then the door appears. So it was literally just jump over her for a bit. That was the boss design. Here, just jump over
Nice. Thank you, Konami.
And it was the second boss design too. He was just on a skateboard. You just had to jump over him a bit.
That's right, but there were platforms.
There were, but okay, it mixed it up a little bit by adding some platforms. I was trying to think, is this what games were like? Am I being mean? Am I being, like, because we all remember Mario.
Well, this is what games were, I mean.
You had to run under Bowser's leg to get the axe and
yes,
won,
yes,
right? So it wasn't
which
complex.
Which sucks. That's a horrible mechanic. I can never do it.
That was hard, I agree. When I was a kid, I found that difficult too.
I've never managed to run underneath Bowser's legs. Anyway, I think games like this just were this. Take a look at Circus Charlie.
What the hell is a Circus Charlie?
What do you mean, Circus Charlie?
Who's Circus Charlie?
You know Circus Charlie.
This sounds like a bit. Who's Circus Charlie?
Circus Charlie!
Oh, saying it louder, now you've got me. I know.
Circus Charlie is that one NES game that every single person has played.
Oh, well, I'm going to hit you with some data now. Can't be every single person. What I don't. Whom the hell, what the hell, and where the hell is Circus Charlie?
Circus Charlie is that game you play as a clown in the Big Top.
Oh, I've seen that game. Yes, okay.
Yes,
I know
first
the
level
you're
is
about.
You're on a tightrope.
Yes, okay.
You jump over monkeys.
Yes, never played it, but I do know
the second level is you're on a lion and you jump through hoops of fire.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah,
third level is you're jumping from big beach balls to beach balls.
Makes sense.
Everyone has played that, you included.
Wow, I'm scared now. What chip in my brain have I got that I've forgotten my past? I must hunt down the people at Nintendo and find out why. Go on.
What I'm trying to say is this is what games were. You know that better than I do.
Oh, definitely. I would just, again, it's because we're so kind of spoiled now. I was looking for more, whereas there possibly wasn't any more. You know?
I think it was a couple of years after this when we got games like Final Fantasy VII, Metal Gear Solid, Ocarina of Time. Yeah, that's when games became more than just... the playing platformer.
That's right.
Whatever.
Agreed. Yeah, where it became more open and story-esque and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Another thing, another little note I got here, and I said, sorry, it's a bit a little rude, but I just wrote, ghosts are bullshit. That haunted level.
Oh, the ones that
spin
around you.
When those four ghosts just come out of nowhere and spin around you killed me so many times.
They are bullshit,
you're right. I got so pissed off. Yeah, again, ladies and gents, one kill, you're dead. Like, you restart again. No, this is brutal. This is harder than Dark Souls or Demon Souls or Elden Ring, whatever you want to call them. Those just did my head in.
True.
On a good side, though, I did like that each character, Plucky Duck, Dizzy Devil, Furball, and Buster, all had their own little, like, strengths in regards to the playstyle.
That's true. That is true. And that's a note I have here. For the gameplay, it is so incredible that for this platformer, you can just choose the character you want to play as.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Was that a thing in NES games before 1991? I don't think it was.
I can't hugely think of it. I'm sure it was possibly out there. Not a huge. Of course, our NES combined playtime is probably not much. So I can't say I'm fully. But no, it was like I said, it was a fun gameplay aspect that you could change it up.
Yes.
And some of course were better for some levels and some weren't in regards.
That's the thing, though. Some, you're right. Some levels were made for some characters, mm-hmm. others mm-hmm. were not. There's a level that goes straight up.
Yes.
Straight up. And you could almost skip that entire level by just picking Furball.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
It is that easy.
Literally it. Just climb everything, go over the top and walk, right?
Did you see tiny Daisy Duck, the fortune teller?
Yeah.
If you talk to her long enough, she'll tell you who to pick, who is the best partner.
Oh, I did not see that. She prompts you. I did not know that.
Yes, that's why she's a fortune teller.
Makes sense, okay.
So she tells you, for this next level, pick Furball. And I'd pick Furball, and the entire level would just be null and void.
Oh, I did not know that. I should have done that to see that. That's something I should have done.
Yes, there's kind of a mazy level that's just got a ton of blocks everywhere.
Yeah.
All of those blocks can just be destroyed by Taz.
Yes, yeah, with his little world.
Meaning you don't need
thing,
to traverse
right?
shit.
NES games, I love the idea that they developed a gameplay kind of, we could just break it. Like, you could play it in hard mode, or just use Taz in this section and destroy the ground. No, it's clever. Yeah. It's actually not a bad idea. It's the same way Mega Man used to do certain weaknesses to their boss bad fights, right? Baddies, boss fights.
And that was cool. The way this is cool, I think the second level is you're in the clouds, jumping from moving platform to moving platform.
Yeah.
Oh, if only there was a character that could flap his wings.
Yeah, and I also liked he cheesily looked at the screen as well when he did it. He like he like winked at you and that's my skill.
You know what's happening.
Can I add the one thing that's quite amazing? This is my biggest amazement with this game. Because we both know what the greatest trilogy of all time is in regards to movies and films.
Yes, Lord of the Rings.
Star Wars. And this proves it as well, because this has a Star Wars segment in it.
Right.
So there's no Rick and Frodo in this game. it's a fun little thing as well. I had to get it. If you collect carrots and there are a multiple of 11 at the end of the stage you complete, I don't know why 11, but anyway, you get the Duck Vader parody boss fight.
Oh.
Which is Duck Vader and a bunch of kind of stormtrooper-looking fellas, who just attacks you out of nowhere, and you have to defeat him, and you get an extra power of some sort, if I remember. But I thought that was cool! Star Wars in Looney Tunes!
Is that not just the regular boss?
No, I did bump into him, but I'm said it's supposed to be random. I don't know if they... A multiple of 11 is not hard to do in your score either, is it? Like,
no.
So I'm told it's supposed to be random. I read my research.
Oh, it is?
Complete...
Oh, I had no idea. I fought him, and I thought, oh, this must be part of the game.
Was Duck Vader in Looney Tunes, out of curiosity?
Probably, I don't know.
You're young and trendy.
Well, at that point, the license for Darth Vader was still owned by Lucasfilm.
That's true, yeah, that would have very much so.
They've not been bought yet. And I don't think Warner Brothers had any rights to use Darth Vader, but this was still the Wild West of video games.
Exactly. That's when it wasn't, you'd be sued if you looked at, you made a silhouette of Vader somewhere. Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. This is where you could do fun things.
Yes, when you could have a pseudonym and say, oh, this game was made by Snarky Parker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to tangent on why the world sucks kind of now. anything else gameplay-wise which you liked?
No, I just... no, I think that's it. This game is hard as balls.
Yeah,
and I really,
really
enjoy that you can switch between the characters of who Furball is my favorite.
Can I... There was something very questionable at the end.
Yeah?
I can't say what, but I had to show my wife when you complete the game.
And, well, you can't bring this up and not tell us.
Okay, ladies and gents, when you complete this game, as you can imagine, there's a little cutscene or montage of pictures that shows you, like, you've beat Max Montana, or whatever his name is, right? And then there's a little clip of Babs and Buster being in there together again. Yay, twins are back together. You saved your sister, right?
Nice.
And then there's a scene where it's and Max, I forgot his name now, Maximilian gets, or Montana gets his deserved punishment or something like that.
Yeah.
And the way they framed that picture is a bit dubious.
What, like, do you mean?
I want to share it with you, but I can't. I can't say it live either. Just say that they put Buster Bunny, is his name Buster? In a position behind Max or Montana that kind of looks a bit wrong.
I swear to you.
I was looking at this thinking, whoa, they couldn't have done that a little better? That's
Oh,
that's,
no. Oh, that's not. that can't have been intentional.
That's just my imagination. And sorry, my mind goes there sometimes.
Tiny
but I was
tunes.
Like, whoa. Come on, Buster. That's a bit much.
Tiny.
You have to look now, don't you? The curiosity.
Adventure end screen. I'm hoping. No, I can't. I'm not. Okay. I'm not going to go looking for it. Anyway, ladies and gents, if you want to see what this looks like, go play Tiny.
Yeah,
go finish Tiny Toon Adventures. We dare you.
Yeah, for the secret ending, the must-see ending to this game. Anything gameplay, it is just a simple platformer. You jump over a lot of things, and you jump
easy.
On a lot of things, and you collect
easy,
carrots.
And also not easy.
Yes, very hard. Like I said, these are the fun parts we do now. Performance.
Well, how do you even comment on performance for an S game?
You can't. I don't.
Right. This is an S game. There's no loading.
There was only back in the day. The biggest performance issue for NES games was blowing the cartridge out because there had dust on, and sometimes
it wouldn't
load. Nintendo
Have
account,
you blown your cartridge today?
Yes. I miss those days. To be honest with you.
Same.
I don't know
if
why.
I could blow my PlayStation 5.
Oh,
and just
I would.
Have everything work.
Oh yeah. Just they should have that function just as an extra. But yeah, like I said, these games are so simple. They run so fine. Hell, you can even just play this in your browser of your Chrome or Explorer. Yeah, it's so simple, so easy. So, you know, just do it if you want to play it. It's a great game.
Yeah, I could not find any bugs on mine. I'm sure
bugs? Any bugs?
If someone speedruns this game, then all the bugs become obvious. But I couldn't find any.
Sorry, I was playing on the bugs as in Bunny. Like, you couldn't find any bugs.
Oh.
Sorry. I thought that's what you meant. I'm sure Bugs Bunny must be in that. It's the same universe, right? It is the same
universe. Oh, incredible, Bent. Oh, yeah, that's
wasn't
why you listen to
it?
Critical
Just,
Arcade.
That's right. Okay, value for money. This one was a little interesting. I thought this was interesting.
Yes. I'd say there's quite some replayability in this game.
I'd say some was a stretch of a word for me, but there's
Yes, some. Because you can pick your character. Meaning you can play this entire game with different characters.
Very true.
Which is a stretch to say that you can have a different experience each time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what would be my point. Yes, you can play and they are different play styles, but the levels are the same. Anyway, maybe it's just the... I'm too spoiled. I want to go to space and search planets and find people to friend up friends and
to ransack old vaults
exactly,
for money
exactly,
that you can spend on weapons that you could go ransack some more vaults.
I did find that if you want to own this cartridge, like if you do want the original NES cartridge in your hands, it's actually quite expensive. If you want a complete in-box version of this game, it's about $50. And the cartridge itself is like $10 to $15. So it's, you know, it's relatively sought after, which was a bit, I guess that makes sense to you because you'd probably love to own the physical copy in hand.
I would. I would.
There must be a lot of people out there just like you who this game means a lot to you because, you know, that's the only, or it had a low print run, but I'm guessing it.
There could be that as well. I don't know. Maybe just because this is the first one.
Yes, it was.
Apparently isn't even the best Tiny Toons game.
Oh no, I played a Tiny Toons game on the Mega Drive and that game was great. This just wasn't my Tiny Toons game. The Mega Drive one, or the Genesis, if you're in America, that game was cool. Far better than this game, in my opinion, but I'm sure you probably disagree. That's probably on the list, though. So the list...
If you're listening, we need Tiny Toon Adventures 2 on the Genesis. Yeah,
All hell the list. Nick needs to know what a good Tiny Toons game is. he needs that in his life.
Yeah, I do. I think the value for money for this game is fine. What was full price in 1991? $60.
Or maybe the equivalency of now $60, but no, I'd say... Oh, geez, a NES cartridge back in the day. It was probably 20. But they weren't cheap.
That makes more sense.
They weren't cheap. Granted, you were earning less money or your money meant, you know, traveled more, was worth more.
Yeah, your money went further back then.
Yeah, so I'd probably say it was about 20. They weren't cheap. Of course, gaming, when it came out, was seen as a luxury item in-house. You know, only slowly became commonplace later on.
Yes.
But yeah, pricey.
I see. I think the value for money for this game is fine.
It's fine.
I know it's just my opinion. Although I would still find value in a game like this if I bought it 33 years ago.
Yes. Okay. True. Yes. Again, any game could be that in some regard. And this is just our views on the game. Like I said, you've got a history with it and I haven't. So I probably scored it a little lower than you.
But that's... I don't think I've got any more comments.
No, let's see. What did we score this game then?
The scores for this game, we sent to the Luniversity. There apparently are bigger scores that look exactly like these scores, but they're not related. And no one's going to explain to us why.
Yeah, I don't get that. Yeah, go on.
No, but they eventually graduated Luniversity and got a show of their own. And the show was called... The Letrograde rating of C-, which is a respectable score.
That was a great one. I enjoyed that one. The show was called The Letrograde. Whoa, I'd watch that. I want to know. The Letrograde rating of C-, yeah, that's a TV show.
Oh, Dad, yes, that's my favorite show. Yeah. The past five games, we've had three C-.
Yeah, it's true.
What's the plural? C-?
Yeah, I like that one. C-.
We've had three of them. We're just getting a boatload of average games.
Yeah, but the fun thing is that generationally, there's quite a massive gap. One's from 1991, one's from, 2019? I can't remember what the one.
Yeah.
But it's funny how the games, depending on which era, you've got to weigh them against a different standard, and a C for a new game is different than a C for a NES game.
True.
But anyway, these are all opinions, and they don't really matter. This is just...
No, they don't. Please, if you enjoy Tiny Toon Adventures, who the hell are we to tell you... It's not supposed to be enjoyed.
And that's with every game. Doesn't matter what game it is out there. You like Putt-Putt's Adventures, then go and play Putt-Putt's Adventure, which, by the way, is
except
a great game.
Except if it's Resident Evil 6.
Yes. No, but
you're not allowed to like that game.
Resident Evil 6 is almost good bad. Very close to being good bad.
It's almost good bad.
Because that game
it's not,
is bad.
Though. It sucks.
But yeah, but it's almost good bad. But anyway,
this is our... I can't believe we somehow managed an hour.
Yeah, geez, I was so weirdly stressed out about that. Because NES games, ladies and gentlemen, are hard to fill air. Like, it's a NES game. They're not long. They're kind of basic in color and everything. It's hard to do.
Yes, somehow this episode is longer than the actual game.
Yes, that's probably very true. It's very true.
High five, Dave.
Well, let's see.
We did it.
It's a long time.
High five, listener, for listening to this week's episode of the Critical Arcade Podcast. You could follow us. Oh, now I'm all turned around. You could follow us on YouTube and Instagram. And you can email me at nick@criticalarcade.com. Just all high fives all the time. Dave,
We need a sound effects department.
I'm butchering this outro.
It's fine.
What's your email?
I'm also Dave at criticalarcade.com.
Beside your email. And then you need to high-five the audience.
Okay. Whoosh. That was just one large one for everyone. That was just like a big high-five for everyone.
A big sweeping high-five. Exactly. Besides your email and general high-fives, where can we follow you?
You can also find us. Me out and about, not us, sorry. Out and about. But I have become very close on social media and stuff with Elmira. I don't know her surname.
Oh, no.
And I've been giving her training and hints and tips on how to actually capture people. And I think hug them to death seems to be one of her main... If I remember the Looney Tunes, she used to hug them and they couldn't get out, right? I think I remember that.
I think so too.
So yeah, I built her body up a body up a bit. We've done some like training in gym. So if you do come near her, she will grab you and she will never let go. She will always be around you. Now, granted, if you fancy Elmira, then this is actually a win. So
people don't. No. I think
it's like Frangelica from Rugrats.
Yes, nobody likes those that. Characters were in real life with their cartoon proportions.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
That would be horrifying. I'd be scared shitless.
Except Lola Bunny.
Oh, okay.
Lola Bunny. Yeah, being real. Yeah, I don't know why Lola Bunny. It's
I know exactly why.
Yeah, because Lola Bunny was hot. You know, I'm thinking, am I a furry? I just don't know now. But anyway. Okay,
don't follow Dave and his furry escapades. Rather support us on Patreon for exclusive content. Like Critical Cinema and The Post Show, you know the spiel. What have you got lined up for next week, Dave?
Well, next week's game, I do believe, it's a brand new game coming out soon, I believe, from the time of this recording. It's Stellar Blade, which I was...
Speaking of hot characters...
Yeah, right, exactly. I was on the fence of, because I thought, oh, Stellar Blade, and look, it's like, granted, yes... I don't know her name. Is her name Stella?
I don't know. Her name's not Blade either. No, it's not Blade Eve. Either.
Oh, Eve. Eve. Okay, we all know Eve looks hot. You know, everybody's talking about hot. But I was thinking it's just going to be a hot woman with a, you know, and it's a generic game. But the game actually looks like it's pretty good.
Yes. So we played the demo.
Yeah, I'm genuinely excited now.
Yes, I'm very surprised. This demo was good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that game. Yes, sure, hot chick is hot, but also this game is good,
right? I hope I'm gonna be blown away that the hot chick part is only like the shallowest part of the game,
because
like
that does seem like the case.
Yes, I hope so. So yeah, we should be playing that game next. Tune in to find out if it's any good, in our opinions.
Please do. That's gonna be next week. But yeah, we will see you next week. Cheers.